talking about gifts, and maybe this is the last message on that. I don't know. We'll see. But particularly the gifts of the Trinity. And man, I saw this demonstrated so well on Thursday night at worship at the Loebs. You know, thanks guys for opening your home again for that. It was awesome. But it was so cool because, like, as we were getting started, Evan got up and just kind of gave a brief explanation slash teaching. And, okay, this is what we're doing, guys. It's kind of an open place. We just really want to dive into worship, but it's not just about the music. You know, bring whatever the Lord gives you. And so anyway, so we just set out from there. And, you know, all this prophetic flow just started happening, you know. Just like in here this morning. It's just following the river, you know, wherever that stream goes. And I mean, I'm not going to mention, I'll miss so much, but just a few things that stood out to me was, like, for example, I think it was Elizabeth, I think you, Auntie, had something on this. I can't remember which one of you started it, but this thing about the nations, you remember that? And, like, I think you were like, I think we just need to pray. God's put a different nation on different people's hearts. And so, you know, somebody over here is praying for Israel and somebody over there prayed for something. I don't remember all the nations. I remember I got Polynesia, like these islands, and I was praying to that. And then I felt like the Lord was saying that there were, you know how on the day of Pentecost they spoke in tongues, but it was literally languages that all these people from all over the world had come to Jerusalem. They heard the gospel preached. Like along those lines, I feel like, okay, everybody just open your mouths. And just let a new, even maybe a tongue you've never, when you're speaking in tongues, it's not that tongue. Maybe there's something new, you know, let it flow. And so it was powerful. I mean, people just started doing that. You know, again, it was kind of one of those easy anointing rooms, you know, where it's just like any little old thing can just take off. And then me and the girls had to leave early. But as I understand, then there were several people going on mission trips. And they got up and then they were praying, you know. So there's the, like, apostolic, the sent ones, the prophetic, you know. There's teaching was just being in the room because you learn by just, you know, just I just saw the gifts really in operation and the church kind of being the church, even though there's people from a lot of different churches there. And I was just thinking about that this morning as I was preparing to share what the Lord's put on my heart. Is, you know, that God has uniquely, just like I prayed over Agnes, God's uniquely put a gift of His presence in your life that only you can uniquely express in the way that you express it. The way that Chuck prophesies is going to be personified and given differently than the way that, like, Donna prophesies. But yet they both could prophesy. I'm just using this as an example. I don't know if this is true. So, like, for example, I think it's safe to say that of the five-fold ministry, I would guess Chuck's number one is, like, the prophetic, right? I'm not sure if it is in Donna's or not. It may not be. But that doesn't mean that she can't prophesy, right? So, like, Keturah, I'm just guessing. Keturah's might be, like, evangelist. Okay, and Agnes's may not be, but that doesn't mean that Agnes isn't going to lead someone to the Lord. You see what I'm saying? So there's these gifts of the fivefold, and every one of us probably kind of major on one or two, but all of them, because Christ lives in us, and He's the expression of all five perfectly, all of those can be expressed. But the cool thing is, though, when we are added to the church, particularly a church, like in our case, River Life Fellowship Chapel Hill, when the Lord has brought you into this church family, then we have those majors that we all bring into the body and become that one body. That's what we're going to read in 1 Corinthians 12. So now, we learned last week, those are the gifts of Christ. Ephesians 4 teaches us that those are the Christ gifts, okay? Romans 12, the week prior to that, were the gifts of the Father, okay? And let me just read those to you. Prophecy, ministry, teaching, exhortation, leadership, giving, and mercy. I was talking about how if you think about all seven of those kind of personify what should be dad. You know, the man who leads, who's showing mercy, who gives outrageously and extravagantly, who exhorts you as a son or a daughter. You know, this is like dad. Everything in the gifts of the Son and then what we're getting to in the gifts of the Spirit are rooted and grounded and founded in the gifts of Papa. Are you following me? Again, some of the mistakes can be, I've made this mistake, is launching out in those fiery gifts of the Spirit, wanting to see the sick healed and da-da-da-da and all this stuff. But yet there can be an edge on that sometimes when they're executed or used by people like me because maybe I lack depth in a foundational gifts of Daddy God, of the Father. Okay, so I just see this funnel flow from the Father heart of God, the gifts of Christ. Is an administration, apostle, prophet, pastor, teacher, evangelist, those fivefold, which then out of those, all of the gifts of the Spirit flow. And there's a bunch of those. Actually, I don't think the gifts of the Spirit in 1 Corinthians 12 are meant to necessarily be, that's all there is. There's a lot. I mean, there's a lot that's flowing from the Spirit of God because God is infinite. I mean, how could his gifts be limited to, well, you know, I mean, there's just so many ways. I guess another more accurate way of saying it is the way these gifts are expressed in our lives and in our church and in our world. Are you following me? So the gifts of the Father are foundational. The gifts of Christ or the gifts of the Son are redemptive for body, soul, and spirit. By nature. And the gifts of the Spirit, which we're getting to today, continue redemption through us, the church. Yeah. Through us, the church. It still blows my mind. I'll remind you, we are literally the physical and spiritual body of Jesus on the earth now. Yeah. You realize that? I mean, we should take that kind of seriously. Like, this is literally Jesus' hand. And foot and eyes and mouth and hair, etc. Because he went away. His physical body went to heaven. And he passed the batons like, Mark, it's your turn now. Good luck. No, he didn't say good luck. He actually said, I'm not leaving you with just good luck. Father God is sending the Spirit just like he empowered me to empower you. Now go. And as you go, heal the sick, raise the dead, cast out devils. Freely you've received, freely give away. This is the scripture. Isn't it exciting? So when you look at it in that context of rooted in Abba, expressed and administrated through the Son, and then it's released through the Holy Spirit, you see this beautiful flow. And I'm so excited, even among us. And I wish there were some people who are missing. I might maybe teach this again because I feel like there's even a structure. And by structure, I don't mean like restrictive. I mean, actually, to the contrary, so that we can grow, where the Lord is going to continue to kind of organize us in these giftings that we have and teach us how to operate together as one in unison. Right. Are you guys with me on that?
Amen.
So if you're not sure which one of the Ephesians 4 gifts, what we call the fivefold, again, those are apostle, prophet, pastor, teacher, and evangelist. If you're not sure which one of those kind of most closely you identify with, ask the Lord. Like ask the Lord or ask your friends, your close spiritual friends around you. Say, what do you see in me? Like, I'm not really sure. You know, the apostolic, which happens to be kind of my probably number one, apostolic literally means sent ones. But it tends to be demonstrated by people who like to start things, who like to kind of pioneer, you know, kind of like starting a church in Chapel Hill. Does that sound familiar? You know, start a youth ministry. Well, I technically didn't start it, but started, you know, it's just a gift in the way I'm wired. But I have to recognize that Katie may not be wired that way. You see what I'm saying? And one mistake I could make is assuming that because Katie loves Jesus and I love Jesus, that then Katie's going to start things and be apostolic. But I can't make that assumption because Katie may major on the pastoral. You know, like, in other words, what that means is, and I don't know that about you, Katie. It may not at all. I'm just, again, using it as an example. It may be that Katie is really able to take a friend aside and say, hey, let me help you with these issues in your life. Let me take the truths of Scripture and help you work it out, you know, and work that. And people just seem to come to her for counseling and for advice and mentorship. You see what I'm saying? That would be the more pastoral. The teacher, of course, is, man, you can just open the Scripture and there's a gift of revelation. It just seems to flow like a fountain. And so even if you're not standing up on Sunday morning, you love to teach the Bible study. You love Bible studies. Okay, that might be an indication. That would be like my mom, Martha. When are we having the next Bible study? You know, because I think one of her majors is the teacher thing. You know, that's, I think, my second one. So mine would be like apostle, I think, and teacher are kind of more the majors. And then again, it's not like I don't do other things, but these are just kind of our bent, right? The way that we're wired. And I thought, well, wouldn't that kind of be nice to know about each other? Like, what if we identified those things in a church? Because sometimes I might wear myself out if I'm not an evangelist, like figuring out, okay, how do I reach the lost? I don't know how to reach the lost, Lord. How are we going to reach the lost? I don't know how to reach the lost. And I might turn to somebody who's not evangelistic at all and be like, come on, Chuck, go reach the lost. And Chuck's like, I don't know how to reach the lost. Well, what if we knew that, oh, but there are those people in our church that that's their primary. Why don't we get them to lead that and help the other knuckleheads like me figure out how to do it? Are you following me? Like, that would be more of a natural flow, wouldn't it? So I'm just kind of sensing that and seeing it. And again, I'm not a big believer in restrictive church structure. I think sometimes that gets carried away because I don't want to put everything into such a box that we can't figure out how to do anything. The Holy Spirit's leading elsewhere. So don't get nervous on me. But I feel this. I feel like the Lord wants to do this. Yeah. Let me remind you in terms of the gifts of the Spirit, what the purpose are. It's Acts 1:8, right? Right before the day of Pentecost, Jesus said to them right before he ascended, but you shall receive what?
Power.
What is that in the Greek? Anybody know?
Dunamis.
It's literally the same power that brought a literal dead man out of the grave. I like to phrase it that way because, I mean, think about that. That is scientifically impossible. It's impossible with man, but all things are possible with God. That power, when he went away and sent Holy Spirit, literally came to live in you. Whoa. Well, you, that's a lot of power. It's not about my feelings. It's not even just about my experiences. Because it can be tricky. Just because I haven't experienced something yet doesn't mean it's not true or it can't happen. So, hey, I haven't raised the dead personally yet. Okay? Chuck has. He can tell you that story later. But I believe that it's not only possible but plausible. Don't you? I mean, you can read the stories about it. You may know somebody who knows somebody, you know. Well, we know somebody firsthand. I mean, but that power, whether I feel that on Monday morning or not, that power, according to the truth of the Scripture, is when the Holy Spirit has come upon us and we shall be witnesses to Chapel Hill and then Durham and Raleigh. And then India and Israel and Africa and so forth to the ends of the earth.
That's right.
Right?
Yeah.
So in that regard, the purpose seems to be evangelistic, as we all know. Not all of us are wired to think evangelism, evangelism, evangelism. But what I'm seeing, though, is as the fivefold comes together and works in unison and harmony within a body, these things just happen. Are you following me? I kind of got into this last week. The apostle prophet, see into the heavenly realm what's happening. Prophesy it into the earth, into the existence. The teacher takes it and teaches where it is in the scripture and how to understand it biblically. The pastor then takes that information and applies it practically in everybody's life. And the evangelist then at the bottom of the funnel recycles the whole thing to start all over again. Isn't that beautiful? As more and more people then are added to the body, then through the evangelism, then those people are then brought in. Their giftings are identified, and they can then operate in unity and in unison with the body. I would like to be in a church like that. I don't know about you guys. So here's our perspective on 1 Corinthians 12 this morning. Here's our lenses, okay? Our eyeglasses, it's family. You got that? It's all about family because the Trinity was and is a demonstration of family. I think as the Trinity, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, as the first family unit, you know, in heaven. And they just duplicated themselves when they kind of gave birth to us, right? In Adam and Eve, and the first family structure and governmental structure. And then it just kind of multiplies from there. So it's all about family. Everything is meant to be done within this framework called family. And so we find family not only in our physical moms and dads, but then in this church. And in every church, it should be that way. Then, how many people were able to listen to that YouTube message that I sent you this week? Anybody? Okay, that's okay. If you haven't, please do. I don't normally do this. And I don't know this guy. It's Banning Liebscher. He grew up at Bethel and planted a church the same time we planted this church in Chapel Hill. They planted a Jesus Culture church in Sacramento, California. And, you know, it's a totally different scale because it was Jesus Culture. And they were already famous. So they had to, like, shoo people away when they opened their doors. You know, we didn't quite have that problem. I don't know if you've noticed. But anyway, his message is the best way of putting into words what we've experienced, and I know by talking to them what they've experienced in their Christian life in the church, and how it looks in family as church's family. It's the best explanation of that I've ever heard. So, but in that structure, in that family, you find the safety, the accountability, and mostly the love of God that's needed in order for gifts to really work. I'm going to use that word loosely. Okay? Let's start reading before I run out of time in my introduction. 1 Corinthians 12:1, and I'm going to do this in the Passion Translation. Okay? So if you got the app, click on that version or look up on the screen. It's really cool. My fellow believers, I don't want you to be confused about spiritual realities. For you know full well that when you were unbelievers, you were often led astray in one way or another by your worship of idols, which are incapable of talking with you. Anybody seen the Apostle Paul movie? They kind of give a vivid, in the first century, this idol worship and all that and the culture that was going through is pretty interesting. But anyway, therefore, I want to impart to you an understanding of the following. No one speaking by the Spirit of God would ever say Jesus is the accursed one. No one can say Jesus is the Lord Yahweh unless the Holy Spirit is speaking through him. It is the same Holy Spirit who continues to distribute many different varieties of gifts. The Lord Yahweh is one, and he is the one who apportions to believers different varieties of ministries. Ooh. The same God. Was that just me, or did the heavenly realm echo? He must have really liked that. Let me do that again, the different varieties of ministries. The same God distributes different kinds of miracles that accomplish different results. That's an interesting way to put it. Through each believer's gift and ministry as he energizes and activates them. Each believer is given continuous revelation by the Holy Spirit to benefit not just himself, but all. Isn't that good? Each believer is given by the Holy Spirit to benefit not just him or herself, but all. So the first thing is, within the spirit world, therefore within the kingdom of heaven, the Trinity operates as one, in unison, just as a family is meant to function. If I go out as a husband, and I go out and I like start down this road, let's say to like buy a car, okay? And I've picked out this car, in my case, let's say a truck. I picked out this truck. It's the beautiful truck. It's the perfect truck. It's just the truck I want. I mean, it's got all the right everything. It's like, man, I gotta have this truck. And I don't even talk to Sarah, but I just go down to the dealership and I just buy the truck. Okay? Now then, I know what you're thinking. In some scenarios, that may be okay, but it would only be okay if there was an agreed upon amount that you're gonna pay for the truck, right? And it would only be okay if there was some foreknowledge that we even needed a truck in the family. Okay? In other words, my point is, in order to have a good marriage and a good family system going, I'm not going to just fly around as a husband making major life decisions without the unity and agreement of my wife. Are you guys with me on that? In the same way, if kids are going this way and parents are going that way and da da da, and you know our American lifestyle. I mean, there is so many activities and I'm the chief among them, you know, from sports and you're going all these different ways. And it's before long, like, when was the last time we actually were here to eat dinner at the same time? Anybody know that feeling? Again, I know that feeling, so that's not an accusation. I'm just saying it's a reality of the struggle. Before long, you can start to feel kind of disconnected and like, well, I didn't even know Judah had that. And I didn't even realize that, Sarah, if you had Tuesday night, well, you didn't tell me that you had Wednesday morning. And, you know, and then it takes a really strong administrative gift to bring that all together on some, you know, iPhone schedule. It's really a great illustration, though, of what we're talking about. It's this unison. The Trinity set an incredible example for us. You know, the Son can only do what he sees the Father doing, and the Spirit empowers the Son to do what he sees the Father. You know, all these things, you just see this co-union with each other. In this church, too, I see in this passage that we're not just meant to benefit just ourselves and our ministry, but all. There's no lone rangers in the kingdom. You know, this is sort of a, words fail you sometimes when you're trying to get across something. It's sort of a problem in the American church today, I think. But by problem, I don't mean that there's no good in it, okay? Because you and I, we can go out and do our ministry. And the Lord can be glorified and great fruit can result from that. But instead of problem, let me just say, I don't believe it's God's best. Why? Because the gifts and ministries always are an overflow of family. Sometimes that's led to abuses of like controlling pastors and abusive churches. Okay, who's got that t-shirt? You know, some people sheepishly raise their hand. Okay, so that's not good either. You know, we gotta trust God to keep us out of that. But at the same time, there's no lone rangers in God's kingdom. We're all meant, we all need to operate. We were chatting this week that I remember back in 2007, we actually told our parents that we were moving to Wilmington to start a church. Do you remember that? And then again, I don't remember the years, but a few years after that, I didn't tell my parents, but I really wanted to do one in the town next door to Mooresville called Davidson. And then a couple years after that, I wanted to do Davidson again. You know what the problem was? I felt like I had the passion and call. But when asked by my pastor, do you have a word? Well, define word. Oh, no, not really. Okay. You know, never said, you can't do it. He just, you know. So therefore, then, without the word, there was no agreement. There would have been no covering, and there would have been no unison. In other words, son, in this case, Matthew Bolton, it's not quite your time to fly yet. And apostolic people like me, man, we're like, what do you mean? You know, I mean, I've got, you know, like, come on. Like, let's get on with the show here. Like, let's do this. Okay, you got a word? Yeah. No. You know, trying to pretend like I did, but in my heart, I knew I didn't. Fortunately, and only by God's grace, we, Sarah and I, were able to just sit and be like, you know, we could try to move to Wilmington and do that, but man, I'm so glad we didn't. You know why? Because now, in 2013, when God clearly said Chapel Hill, Chapel Hill. And then he starts saying, Chapel Hill, guys. And then he starts saying, Chapel Hill, you dummies. You know, like, do you hear me? Then when I sat down with the pastor and said, he said, do you have a word? I'm like, yeah, I got a whole, let me show you all the words. I'm in. Let's do it. Man, do you know what that feels like? That feels like when your spiritual dad says, I'm in, let's do it, you feel like, well, it's as good as done. That's an illustration of what giftings and callings are through family, through the church. Again, I understand that sometimes in some places, in some scenarios, it's done poorly. It's done wrongly. They can give you an example of the church they grew up in. They didn't want to release nobody. I'm speaking for you, but that's what you told me. That I don't care if you got a word, you ain't going nowhere, basically, right? So, yeah, like, let's don't make that mistake either. Let's learn from that. I mean, we're going to let Keturah move to Ohio. As controlling as I would like to be and make up a word that you're supposed to say in Chapel Hill, I can't do that to Keturah, you know, or Harry. We had to send him off to Africa, right? Yeah.
So, I feel like this is important, and one of the things that I remember from that time is because I feel like one of the keys in all this is finding who's your tribe, who's your people,
yeah,
that the Lord's saying, this is who I want you to do life with, and that we would be able to champion one another's dreams and visions and hearts. But knowing, like I remember for us, there were very many times that because of life, we got restless.
Yeah.
Just because of life,
yeah,
circumstances. And we were restless and we were trying to figure out how we were going to make things work.
Right.
And so in our own strength, we got very fix-it oriented. And that's when we would come up with these ideas, but wouldn't really. It wasn't, there was not. But in that safety of family and being in a body together, we were able to. And one moment we looked at each other and said, okay, what one thing, you know, because there have been times in our lives that all we've been able to do is just look at each other and say, all I know is I'm staying with you. Like, mm-hmm. I don't know a whole lot about our life circumstances or what we're supposed to be doing, but all I know is I choose you, you know. Well, the other thing was, all I know is I know that I know that I know that God has placed us in this body for this time. So I'm not jumping out of that without a word from the Lord, you mm-hmm. know. And so the thing that we looked at each other and said is we know we feel stirrings and things in our lives and on our hearts, but we know that we don't want to do it outside of this family and this community that God's given us to do it in. Mm-hmm. And that was all by God's grace, but I am so thankful. Because I want to tell you, that has been one of the biggest strengths of what we're doing here,
yeah,
is that it was this here is not just this here. Mm-hmm. There is these roots, this system that has been for years and years and years that is undergirding what God's doing here and is,
yeah,
championing what's going on here.
Yeah.
You know, so.
Yeah, that's awesome. And as Janet shared, when they were moving in, you know, just even the location spiritually, you know, that she was here in 1974 praying for a church That happened to be the same year I was born. Okay. And then my parents moved me and my brother, our family, here in 1981 to establish a campus ministry at UNC that, you know, over 35 years became this very significant church in the RTP right now. So not only those roots, but just the roots in family for the last 50 years, literally, of River Life. It's just absolutely irreplaceable. And that's just a grace thing. It's not a bragging or anything like that. What I'm trying to say is I've realized, and I've made some pretty significant mistakes in the process, but I've realized this is the God process. This is the way that it works. It's ordained, it's sons and daughters, it's papas and mamas. You know, it's raising up. And it doesn't happen overnight. But life doesn't happen overnight, does it? I mean, it feels like your kids grew up overnight, but they don't literally. It takes 18 years to be exact, right? And sometimes when they're really little, it feels like forever. At least it did for me. Like, oh my gosh, this 3-year-old, like, will they ever turn 4? You know, I mean, it's a process. And here's the problem with life is it's daily, right? And that's the same with church. Sometimes you're in church and it's just daily, and maybe it's a season of not fire, you know, the opposite of fire. Like, you know, the low times, and, you know, maybe there's a problem in the church, or there's fighting, or there's whatever. And it's like, but I've seen that God, time and time again, by his grace, he works all these things together for good. And then he begins to reach and release and extend and expand.
Yeah.
That's why I'm always leery of ideas, of my own ideas about church and what to do. Because I'm like, okay, Lord, is this my idea? Is this my ambition speaking? Or is this you? Is this a word from the Lord? Because I learned, because I've chased many of my ideas down. And I mean, it's not that the Lord can't help you. He's merciful. But the ones that last and bear fruit are always God ideas.
Yeah.
It's like, man, okay, Lord, give us the God ideas on what to do. You know, what to do next. So I am going to, for the sake of time, I'm going to kind of part two next week, if that's okay. Because I got way too much here to keep going after 12:03. You don't want to do that. But yeah, so Lord, why don't you guys just stand with me and let's just ask for his grace.
Yeah.
Because Chuck told me last night that he identifies as the new guy, that there is an unusual love among us. Isn't that right? I mean, he goes, I'm telling you, as a person who's been around a long time, that's what you need. That's the key ingredient in this spiritual soup God's brewing is love. Well, how did we get that? We didn't do it, did we? By God's grace.
Yeah, that's
right. So, Lord, we're just saying the way we started out in grace is the way we want to continue in grace. We're not going to think of ourselves more highly than we ought. Because we know we're not anybody apart from you, Lord. And even right now, it's not like we're the significant force in numbers. But God, what we do have is your word. Like we have the rhema words from heaven that say, I want a place for my presence in Chapel Hill. I want a place that will father and mother a next generation and the generation after that. I want a place that will be a sending place, a sending town, a sending church and a sending town. Lord, and those are just a few, probably just the tip of the iceberg. But Lord, for those and all the other words that you've spoken in our hearts and you will speak, we just want to say yes.
Yeah.
We say yes, Lord. We sign up. Yeah. Lord, we want to ride this wave that you're bringing as long as it'll carry us. God, and when it's time for us to sit back on the surfboard and wait for the next wave, that's what we'll do. We'll just wait in faith. We'll remember the testimonies of the last wave. And we'll prophesy the waves coming up in the future.
Yes, Lord.
God, we just thank you for your faith and for your grace. And I just continue to call forth the gifts in this church. We call forth the apostolic. We call forth and pull in the prophetic. We call forth and believe for the pastoral. We call in the teaching gift, Lord. We believe for the evangelists, God. Raise up the mighty evangelists among us, Lord. And Lord, for all the gifts of the Son, the gifts of the Spirit, the gifts of the Father, we pray, God, that you would cause them to manifest in us and through us.
Yeah.
Only by your Spirit is that possible. We just thank you. We praise you. Do that right now. Do that right now, God. Do it right now. Just put out your hands to receive. And just say, I receive all the gifts that you have for me, Papa.
That's right. Amen.
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 And the greatest of these is love.
That's right. The greatest is love. And by the way, here's what I think. I'm going to get to this next week. But whatever gifts, at the end of the chapter, it says, earnestly desire the gifts. Like, it literally means lust for them. Like, actively go after them. So, in the context, here's what I think about that. God is the one who gives the gifts, but he's a good father. So if I ask my dad, I want a bicycle for Christmas. If he has the means, guess what I'm going to get for Christmas? A bicycle. Why? Because he's a good dad and he has a good heart. And he wants to bless his son with what he asks for. So if you ask God for the gift of prophecy, for example, or a tongue or something, just and you want that, but you don't currently feel like you have a full measure, then just humbly ask him. Ask him. I believe it may not happen that moment. It may not happen that week. But you just persistently ask him by faith and receive. And that gift is going to start rising in you. It doesn't mean you'll become the prophet. That's a whole nother thing. But man, you might prophesy the paint off that wall.
That's right.
More than any prophet even would.
That's right.
You know?
And this is really awesome because I feel like this is going to help us all. I'm excited because these really are like lenses that we all have on. And sometimes we can get frustrated with each other because not realizing it's really because they just have other lenses. But we can champion each other instead of getting frustrated. You know, because and when we can identify these things, it helps you to be able to walk forth in it boldly because that's the lane that God has given you. He's given you that lane. He wants you to champion that, but you don't have to get frustrated because that person beside you is not looking at it the same way.
Right.
You know, when you have that pastoral thing and you just want to, like I realize my heart is pastoral. It's very family, like let's all talk about how we're just going to work out our relationships and all these things. I could talk to you about that all the time, but then somebody else who's very evangelistic might be like, why are y'all all sitting up in here? It's time to get out here.
Yeah.
And why is everybody up in that church not caring about out here?
We got to reach the lost, y'all. You know what I mean? What are you doing here?
We need those people. We all need those people.
Right.
But when we realize, oh, it's not because we had to fight against each other.
Yeah.
We can work together. This is exciting.
Right.
We can work together and champion each other in each other's lanes. Equip the body for going forth. That's what our heart is.
Amen.
So, amen.